When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. Quick math, beauties. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything just costs more. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move, so do the math and see how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/Jillian. That's netsuite.com/Jillian. netsuite.com/Jillian.
Jillian,
what are you happy about?
Because I am allowed to come to Australia.
Allowed is a strong word.
When did you decide that I could come?
Gosh, I don't know. I didn't know I had a choice. If someone had told me, I might have changed my mind. I didn't know it was an option.
Ah, this is very exciting. It's
so,
really cool.
For those of you listening, we are taking our live show, Maximize Your Life, down under.
Down under. And now, and yeah. I noticed
to
with
Australia.
Taking it down under, you had to change the X to an S.
I know. Was it a Z?
Oh, it was a Z. Sorry, Z.
A Z.
Oh, sorry, Z.
Z. I know Z. People will be Maximize in Australia. They spell it with an S, not a Z. Maximize Your Life.
Yes.
Yeah,
so
we're going to be
your life.
In Brisbane, Perth. Melbourne, and Sydney.
Wow.
That's right. Get excited, Manus.
Yeah, I am. I'm very excited.
Have you been to Australia?
Never. I don't even know. But, and then the plane ride's kind of long. I'm used to like a 2.5 hour flight, you know, between here and Vancouver. I'm not
like 13 hours, I think. Not that bad. LA to Sydney, I think. LA to Brisbane, same thing, roughly.
What do you do for 13 hours on an
airplane? Sleep. You take a red eye. Then you sleep. It's kind of great. Bob and I used to make the trip a lot because you know, we used to shoot Biggest Loser Australia
right.
in the very beginning of the series down there. And it's kind of awesome. You have a glass of wine. You have a little dinner. You watch. Oh, you're not going to have a glass of wine. But we would have a glass of wine, have a little dinner. And you're like, oh, great. Now I can't go. We have to have a glass of wine. I'm out. I can't go.
I can't
do it. No going. So you watch a little movie, you pass out, you wake up, you have a little breakfast, you watch another movie, and you're there.
Wow.
Yeah.
You can sleep. Oh, you don't sleep sitting up. You get the what do you call it? The beds. The bed seats.
Yeah, I'm not.
Well, you
I'm not in steerage like you.
Exactly. I'm going to be the steerage.
No, I think we get business class tickets.
Really?
I think talk to G.
Oh, gee, Giancarlo won't give me one of those. He'll put me back in the back, by the bathroom. I know him.
Well, we were actually thinking of putting you with the luggage.
Save a little. I understand if I don't get the business. I understand that.
No, that's
but
a long
however, I got to have an aisle. If I have to sit, like, If I had a middle, no, I would be swigging wine by the time that drink was over.
Wow. But yeah, I think you're going to like it. The Aussies are very, like, extremely friendly, super down to earth, pretty straightforward.
Yeah, yeah.
They don't love confrontation, though. That's what I remember. Like, if you go down there with that whole American sensibility, they kind of look at you like, whoa. Like, if you're... I remember, you know, even if you sort of, the way we speak here, you know, we're very aggressive, like, in, at least in the bigger cities like LA and New York, we're super aggressive. Hey, are you going to sit there? And they're just kind of like, what? Like, they look at you like, what's your problem, dude? Like, they're...
Oh, but don't, yeah, see, now, but you see, don't they forget, don't, I'm Canadian.
Canadian, yeah, the Canucks are pretty chill as well.
We all have the queen on our money, so yeah, I think I'll be fine.
The Aussies are super laid back and just, like... real friendly. You're going to like it. It's fun.
That's cool. And so how are we on a bus again? Do we get to go on a big bus?
No, thank God I'm not on a bus with you again.
We're not going to do
the bus? No, I'm kidding, Manis. No. No, it's too big of a... No. So basically what we're doing is I think we're in Brisbane on the 24th, and then we fly across the country to Perth on the 26th, and then I think we're in Melbourne on the 30th, and then I think we fly to Sydney, and we do a show on November 1st.
Wow. So we're going to be in Australia on Halloween. Wow. Yeah. I wonder what they do there.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'm excited, though.
All right.
Yeah. Huh?
Anything else I need to know?
Yeah, you gotta go to Bondi Beach in Sydney.
Okay.
And you got to get your skivvies on. You'll love it. I'll take you around.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if I can be seen with you. I do have a reputation to...
Well, I could be your, what do you call it?
My,
you
like,
know, just one of your people.
You could be like my Sherpa and carry my things. I'm being so mean to you today. It's not even funny to me, actually. I'll take you around, Janice.
You could be
I'll show you around.
My Sherpa. I heard, and we're supposed to go on a bridge. We're supposed to do a bridge.
Oh, the bridge. Oh, I did it. It's terrifying. Good
really?
Luck. I hated it.
I don't know.
Oh, it's
like
a height thing. You climb the Sydney, the harbor. Good grief. It's like the Harbour Bridge or whatever it's called, right by the Opera House. I did it once. Hated it.
Yeah, I'm not good with the height.
Michelle Bridges, who took over in Australia for me, wanted to thank me. And I'll never forget. She's like, girl, can you, you know, save this day for me? And I was like, sure, you know, because I was like, yeah. And she's like, I've got something special planned for us. And I was like, okay. And the Aussies love their wine. And I was like, we're going to go wine tasting. We're going to go, you know, whatever. And she's going to take me out. We're going to get some champagne. And the next thing I know, she drags me to that damn bridge. And she's like, we're climbing the bridge. And I did not know how to say, like, this is not for me. And it was awful. I was so miserable the entire time.
Oh my God, that is so you. You always get yourself in those kind of, like, the paddleboard. The best Jillian story ever.
Because she was so excited to, like, she was so excited to take me, and she paid for it, and she'd plan the whole thing, and I was like, oh God. No! It was horrible. I hated every second of it. I was just dying the entire time. But I bet you Heidi will go. Heidi's not afraid of that stuff.
Really?
Oh, yeah, G will go too. Yeah. I'll take you to the fun stuff, though, like Bondi Beach and Shelley Beach and Manly Beach. And
you spent a lot of time.
Yeah, I lived down there for a while.
You guys did a lot of time. That's right. Remember when the old days of our radio days, our early radio days?
I was going in Sydney. I was leaving at like 2 in the morning to do live radio here in the States via satellite.
Yeah.
God, that was eons ago.
Wasn't it, though?
Jeez, man. What a different life. Yeah, but you're going to love it. It's awesome.
Well,
so
very cool. I'm very excited. Very, very excited.
I'll take you around, Manis. Don't worry.
And we have Mom on the show today.
Oh.
Yeah. Do your mom. I don't even know what you guys have got planned.
I think she wanted to talk about the difference between psychotherapy and psychoanalysis. And while that sounds like it might not be enthralling, I think she says it's going to be.
Well, you know, but it's very true, because when you look at it, you know, sometimes you should be going to a...
Let's be honest. If it's not enthralling, we'll just cut her out of the show.
You know what? Yeah. I never thought of that. We have the joy of editing.
Yeah, if it sucks, I mean, bye-bye. Who cares if she's my mom? She doesn't know how to find a podcast anyway. She's 66. Did that podcast there, honey? Yes. Huge hit. Huge. You'll have to play that for me. I will. Then I'll email you. Janice, send me that podcast segment. The email so I can forward it to my mom.
And she won't know that it didn't air.
No. No, she'll never know.
You know what, Julian? God bless you.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Now, what else did you want? Did you have it? Was that, is this the end of our opener?
Yeah, I think so.
Is it? Mm. Just a little chitty chat about Australia. Here we come.
I guess so.
Did you like the picture I put on the Twitter of us with our heads on top of those kangaroos, which I didn't know were males? I'm so sorry.
Male kangaroos?
Well, I found out how to
do that. I'm sure that's not shocking to many out there.
The cut and paste the head. And I just was so thrilled that I learned how to do this thing, I couldn't stop putting our heads on things.
Remind me to profusely thank whoever showed you how to do this.
I learned myself. I teach myself.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why it's not quite, that's why it's a little bit off.
Crooked.
But I put our heads on it. I found a picture of our heads.
Thank you.
And then I stuck it on the kangaroos, but it's really hairy. I couldn't tell if it was a, you know, the vagina or a,
ooh,
a kangaroo. Ooh. I know it's a tough word here.
It's kind of,
I know, it's just kind of shocking.
Horrible.
Now that I've said it, I kind of feel a bit
dirty.
Maybe
a quack, please. Quack that. Oh, my God. It's early.
Yeah, I know.
I can't.
All right. Yeah, we have to have Autumn's bringing lunch. I'm very excited
Lou,
about that.
Call it what Lou calls it. The Popeye.
Oh, the Popeye.
Yeah. Popeye. Much better.
I hurt my Popeye.
I don't know where.
On the bike.
I don't know where she came up with that. One day she was in the tub and she told Heidi, "This is my Popeye." And Heidi was like, "What?"
Okay. Okay. Yeah. We'll be back with
Dr. Joanne McCarris.
Yeah, in the segment that we don't know if we're going to air or not.
Yeah. All right, you guys have heard me talk about these guys, naturebox.com. So every month you get a box of delicious, healthy snacks delivered straight to your door. And I mean anywhere you would like, whether it's your office, your home, you name it. And these are not just any kind of snack. These are the real deal. They're Jillian approved, and you know what that means. No high fructose corn syrup, no hydrogenated oils, no artificial colors, no artificial flavors, no junk. Just healthy, great tasting, smarter snacks with strict quality standards, period. So rather than picking up garbage on the run, have your healthy, smart snacks sent straight to you. There's everything in there from dried fruits, whole wheat fig bars, all kinds of granola, dry roasted nuts, anything you want. You can go on naturebox.com and choose or have them select some snacks for you. I always like a little surprise, so I have them select mine. And if that sounds tasty and you want to be healthier, just go to naturebox.com/Jillian. And guess what? You're going to get not 10, not 20, but 50% off your first month. So it's time to get snacks you can feel good about that are going to make you feel good at naturebox.com/JILLIAN today. So, as promised, we've got our riveting segment today with my mom, Dr. Joanne McCarris. And today, Mom, what are we going to be discussing?
Well, today I would like to give a shout out to my psychotherapeutic orientation, psychoanalytic psychotherapy.
Okay.
Because I think so many people have such misperceptions about what psychoanalysis is, what psychoanalytic psychotherapy is.
Mom, hey, Mom.
Yes, I'm here.
Speak English.
Yeah, you lost me at all.
I'd like to talk about the neurotransmitting connection between the psychoanalytic.
What part isn't clear?
It's a lot of words. Okay, so wait. So we're giving it. Okay, so this is. We're gonna speak English to the layman. So what you're talking about is that there are many different ways of doing therapy, right?
Yes.
Okay, and the way you do therapy is called what?
Okay. You've all heard of psychoanalysis,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah, well, I have. Look at me. Okay. Yeah. I have. Go on.
How about Janice, have you?
Well, is that what Freud did?
Yeah, but see, that's exactly my point. Janice, you just really illustrated for me one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it a bit, is because people think that's what Freud did. But that's not at all what's meant by psychoanalysis today. Freud started it. Freud was brilliant. But it's been more than 100 years since Freud discovered the unconscious and introduced this whole new idea of how to work with people's neuroses with this whole thing called psychoanalysis. But we've evolved tremendously. So when people hear the word psychoanalysis, they think about Freud. And
being on the couch kind of thing, the kind of cartoon picture of like the guy on the couch and the shrink with a notepad behind him kind of a thing.
Yes. But in fact, what was that series on TV? Oh, it was Mad Men. Remember when Betty Draper was in psychoanalysis? Does anybody remember that?
I do. And she was on the couch and he was like making notes and
And he was silent.
Yes.
And he was talking to her husband about what was going on. I mean, you know, that obviously psychoanalysis has come a long way. However, most people really don't have the time.
Right, or the money.
Or the finances to do psychoanalysis.
So this is this is using the same principles of psychoanalysis in psychoanalytic therapy, which means it's the same scientific principles that you would be applying to the patient, except that they're coming twice a week.
Or even once a week sometimes.
Okay, got it. I got it.
But still, the principles of psychoanalytic psychotherapy still apply. And that's what I really want people to begin to understand about psychoanalytic psychotherapy. And maybe what we can call it, because it is often called this, and it'll be easier in terms of our conversation.
Yes.
It's often known as depth therapy.
Depth therapy? Like depth as in deep, the pool. Depth.
Exactly.
Look at me, look how I have to comprehend. Like a swimming pool in the deep end.
Yes, like deep sea diving.
Yes, Janice, look at me. Are you following this? I don't think you are.
No, I'm
not like me. Depth therapy. I'm ready. Okay, depth therapy. I'm good to go here. I'm good. Okay. Janice is, you know, a lost cause.
Janice, have you ever done any kind of deep sea diving or any diving at all?
No, it scares me. Oh, isn't that?
Oh, look at that, Mom, a Freudian slip.
And that's okay, but at least the concept. If you think about your mind or your psyche like the sea or like the ocean, and you think about exploring it on different depths.
Okay, right, I get it, okay.
I used to work in what's called psychodynamic therapy, which is how the past affects the present. But I see how much more can be accomplished and how much more understanding people can leave the experience with when you're applying psychoanalytic principles. So,
but Mom, do you still look at how the past affects the present, but then add another layer to it?
Yes.
Got it. I got it. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So what I think, and I'm using think because, again, I know I'm biased, but what psychoanalytic therapists, I believe, can do better than a lot of other therapeutic orientations is we know how to work with the unconscious aspects of a person in a very unique way that the vast majority of therapists don't know how to work with.
Okay, no, wait, I'm going to pause you because let's presume that I'm listening to this and I've never been in therapy and you say we know how to work with the unconscious. What is the unconscious? Can you establish that and then we can continue?
The unconscious are those things that we have no clue about, and yet the unconscious motivates us all the time. So if you're unconscious about something, you're completely unaware of it.
Okay. That you're doing, that exists within you.
Yes. And we all have an unconscious.
Okay.
And
wait a second. I get this. So I'm engaging in a behavior that I don't even understand I'm engaging in. And even if I was able to finally go, oh my God, it's me, I still wouldn't understand why I'm doing it because the motivation is unconscious. I'm unaware of that as well.
Well, once you begin to understand you're doing it, Jillian,
then it's not.
Then you wait. Then it's no longer unconscious. Exactly.
Okay, got it. Got it. Okay,
now
got
you
it.
Know you're doing. So, but that's you're right, Jillian. That's the first step.
Okay.
Being able to identify something that one is doing that one has not been aware of before. Now, the second thing that psychoanalytic or depth therapy can do, I believe, much more thoroughly, much more efficiently, is work with what's called defenses and resistances to getting to the unconscious work.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's something that we're not aware of. We're not aware of it for a reason, right?
Right.
And usually that reason is because it's something that we're afraid of, something that feels dangerous, something that feels threatening.
Okay.
So we don't want to be aware of it. And there are degrees of defense mechanisms. So, you know, denial is a defense mechanism that most people have heard of, right?
Yes.
Okay, so denial is more sort of like the refusal to accept reality.
This is when someone goes, my parents were perfect.
Yeah. Exactly. That's it.
I tell that's not possible, though. It's not possible. And I've heard people say that to me a lot throughout. You know, when I used to work on Biggest Loser, it was, I don't know what you're talking about. My childhood was perfect.
Exactly.
My parents were perfect, which is not possible.
Exactly.
That would be denial. That's a defense mechanism.
Exactly.
Got it.
That's
okay.
Denial. Now, repression is another kind of defense mechanism. Repression is where something is completely unconscious. In other words,
you've forgotten
they may
it,
not
right?
even know they had parents. Obviously, we wouldn't be using that example here. But repression would be something that is too traumatic to be remembered.
Like when someone's molested and they forget about it.
Absolutely.
And that it comes back in dreams or they have flashbacks later on in life. And Got it.
Yes. So that's repression. And then there are things like displacement. So let's say, you know, you're at work and your boss is yelling at you and you're furious at the boss, but you don't want to lose your job. So you go home and what you do is you kick the dog or you yell at your spouse. And
right.
you may not be aware that what you're doing is you're taking your anger and you're displacing it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and there are myriads of defenses. So we all have defenses against knowing certain parts of ourselves. We may not want to know things about ourselves. We may not want to know that we are afraid of being close to people. We may not want to know that we have a lot of envy. We may not want
feeling.
To really face that. Yeah, we may not want to face that, you know, we're frightened of being dependent. I mean, there are so many things that people are fearful of. Think about people, Jillian, who have different kinds of addictions,
okay.
including food.
Okay.
Now, why do you think people have an addiction?
Okay. I can think of a lot of reasons. I mean, I would say in some cases, could it be control? Like, I've seen them use food as control. I've seen them use food as comfort. I've seen them... God,
but
I mean,
there's something, you're right, Jillian, honey.
I've seen them try to use food to feed, like, as a substitute for something that they didn't get, love, approval.
Right. In other words, they're using food to not have to face or feel something that's painful.
Oh, wow.
Okay, so now...
And how does it work, Mom? Is it because it's a distraction in the moment? Or is it... How is the food helping them avoid those feelings?
Well, first of all, it's similar to what you were just saying, although there isn't just one reason.
Okay,
but
okay.
People, okay. It can be self-soothing.
Right.
In other words, there's something that's too painful, and so they eat. Perhaps they start to get extremely anxious. Perhaps they start to get depressed,
right.
And so they start eating. Perhaps there's a lot of rage, and the food is stuffing it. I mean, there are countless reasons why. And this isn't just food. Food is one example. It could be heroin. It could be work. It could be shopping.
Right. Yeah, of course.
It could be exercise.
Right, of course. Okay, I understand.
So, again, there's something that the person wants to stay unaware of. And there are different degrees of consciousness, too. Obviously, all the way from something that's just below the surface to something that's very deeply buried. And so until the person can begin to get to the root of what's causing this pain, they can't begin to fix it.
Right.
So let's look at food here would be, in a way, a sort of defense mechanism. They're using food defensively.
Sure. Okay.
And you know, I think you probably know, Jillian, how difficult it is to break through somebody's defenses. They hold on to them tenaciously. And
yeah.
This is not just about people with eating disorders.
Well, I remember, like, on Loser, in the first few seasons, trying to sort of, oh, I got to get through to you, and it backfiring. And I remember, you explaining to me, because I had a contestant who got very angry at me and who had lashed out, and you had said, honey, he wasn't ready to, you know, to hear this stuff. And it's like, I get what you're trying to do, but you can't just blast through someone's defenses like that, because they're not equipped to deal with it. And that's why he was not conscious of why he was raging at me. But that was, and ever since then, I remember taking a completely different approach and seeing sort of like, okay, are they able to hear this? Are they not able to hear this? How receptive are they? How close is this to the surface? You know, will they have the support to manage it when they go home? But I remember all of that. Absolutely.
So now this is another area wherein it's my personal opinion that psychoanalysts are uniquely equipped to help deal with people's resistances and defenses. Generally, we have the skill, the theoretical understanding, and the patience to eventually help the patient work through the defense or wait it out. And just what you're saying, Jillian, you have to know when to push on a defense and when to back off. When to push a little more and see where the patient's at, and when to back off.
Right. Okay.
And that takes a lot of skill and understanding and training.
Right.
But one of the ways in which you're also working with the patient so that they do get strong enough so that they can begin to face the pain and feel it, you help them do something called building ego strength.
Okay, and how, and are you doing that? Like, the way I learned to help people with that with regard to fitness was by giving them these small successes in the gym, so I could sort of slowly over time go, see, you thought that you were the weak, lazy, this, that, the other, and here you just ran a mile. Look at this reality.
Yeah.
This is real. This is something you can buy into. This is something you can believe in. This is something that shatters your preconceived notions about your capabilities and your identity. And that's how I would do it in the gym. But how would a therapist do that?
Well, it's in a similar way, but it's very gradual, but it takes place between the analyst and the patient, in the sense of the patient now gets to experience themselves and explore themselves, good, bad, and in between, in a safe way with the analyst or with the therapist, and gradually, just what you're saying, Jillian, begin to see that they can, they see their strengths, and they also begin to see that they can face certain painful feelings because they are no longer helpless the way they were as a child.
Is it also, Mom, the fact that if you are... okay, so for example, I was talking with my shrink the other day, and I was talking about a feeling that I had about being a parent that I would never, you know what I mean, the kind of thing where you're like, I can never tell anybody this. Or I was having a moment, quite honestly, where I was like, I love my son, but I don't like him right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, how is it possible that I could be feeling this way? Like, I was like, how did I become this parent? What's wrong with me? I'm a horrible person. You know, this is everything I'm against. Like, I'm ashamed. And he was like, this is normal. this. People have these kinds of feelings. Of course you'd feel this way. He's feeling, exactly. He's two, he's doing this, he's doing that, it's exhausting, it's this, it's that, it's this. And then all of a sudden, like, I had felt so ashamed and so dirty and so dark about the feeling.
Yeah.
And when he had no judgment and was just like, this is, of course you feel this way. You're not superhuman. Going through X, Y, and Z and this and that and this and that is going to make you fit. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, if I, I think maybe I can process this now and start to work through it.
Right. And now you have, 10 of those experiences, and over time you have 100 of those experiences. If you know what I'm saying, however long you stay in therapy with this particular person, you grow from it, and you develop the strength to face what you had to face, though, Jillian, to be able to share this with your therapist, was your feelings of shame.
Completely. The fact that he was able to say it's okay to feel this way, it's like it's okay to have these feelings and, to deal with them and to process them, definitely allowed me to displace the shame and to start to learn how to kind of cope and strategies to manage the situation and to communicate better with Heidi and to try to get on the same page with regard to our parenting, because I do think that's a big part of the problem, is that, she allows one thing that I don't want to allow and so on. And but that's interesting, Mom, because that's exactly what it did for me.
Now, if you hadn't been able, Jillian, in that obviously safe and trusting relationship with your therapist to face that painful feeling of shame, what would have happened is you never would have worked through it. And what would have happened with those feelings? They would have gone underground, and they would have come out in counterproductive, insidious ways.
Yeah.
See, this is the thing. People feel like they want to avoid painful feelings, and they feel like they can. Guess what? You can't. And that's not what good therapy is about. Good therapy isn't about trying to tell people getting rid of their painful feelings.
Right.
It's about helping them learn how to tolerate them so that they don't act them out in destructive ways. Because if you hadn't dealt with this, you probably would have started doing things or behaving with Phoenix in a way that would have made the situation much worse.
Quite honestly, I think that not only that, but I think that it would also definitely do real damage to my relationship with Heidi. I had to sit down and just be like, babe, this is how I'm feeling right now. We have to do something. And but I wouldn't have had the courage to kind of confront her and tell her if I hadn't talked to my shrink about it.
And you see what would have happened if you hadn't. Then your relationship with Heidi would have started to break down.
Yeah.
Resentment would have built.
Yes.
People imagine, and we're talking about something, quite honestly, Jillian, that while could have devastating consequences, it's really a fairly sort of easily reached kind of feeling. But let's say somebody's talking about something that's much more painful and difficult. Let's say somebody was molested by when they were, eight by a teacher who was very gentle and very, and they enjoyed it because we have bodies and because our bodies respond. Can you see it could take years for the person to get to that because they feel like they did something wrong. They feel like they caused
ashamed,
it. They feel there's so much pain. But here's the thing with pain. Here's the thing with uncomfortable feelings. Because you think that you're controlling them by denial, by repression, by projection, whatever it is, feelings are like energy. And energy does not dissipate. It just changes form. And in the case when we can't have our feelings will have us. And what I mean by that is they will come out in insidious, destructive ways if we don't face them. They will come out in things like addictions. They will come out in relationship issues and sexual inhibitions or conflicts and self-esteem problems and mood disorders, in somatic issues. They will come out. So people feel like, I'm coming to therapy to get rid of these painful feelings. And it's like, I'm sorry. Yes, we want to help you face your feelings so that you can feel them, tolerate them, identify them, and in that way, learn how to be constructive with them so that they don't end up in self-destructive ways, like you, like what would have happened with you and Heidi.
Ending relationships, getting addicted to things, sabotaging yourself at work, and then being unconscious about why it keeps happening.
Right. So good therapy, it's not about just feeling better. It's about getting better.
Yes.
To feel better, as you know, Jillian, to feel better, you have to work hard. You have to get well. Yeah. And getting well is work and pain. The difference is when you are with a therapist, and again, I happen to believe that psychoanalysts are the most equipped and knowledgeable about how to work with somebody on this kind of painful level, that when you are able to work on that level, you really can begin to see results. Just like you have to see somebody in the gym. They're not going to lose weight, Jillian, unless they put the work in, both with food, with emotions, with exercise. But when they come to you and they just want you to make them skinnier and healthier, well, you don't have a magic wand.
So that's the thing.
And
take it off, but they won't keep it off. And that's why 95% of the people that lose a large amount of weight put it back on.
Yeah.
That's why.
But what people who come to me or to any therapist, what they need is they need somebody who can not just support them and be empathic, but who really can understand them and see what they're communicating in ways that many people aren't trained to see. So I understand somebody's defense as a communication to me that they're scared.
Right. Okay.
And that's how I begin to explore it. It's not about you're being difficult right now. It's about let's try and understand what's going on internally that's making you so angry or so frightened right now.
How would somebody even go about finding this kind of therapist, psychoanalyst? How would they go?
Yeah, it's different when you're looking at when you're looking in the yellow pages.
I need a shrink. How do you do that?
Well, we have the best resource now available to the world than we've ever had, which is Google. You can Google psychoanalyst. You can Google psychoanalysis. You can also Google the International Psychoanalytical Association.org.
Okay.
Okay. And there are so many links there because, Jillian, there are people who were psychoanalytically trained all around the world, in Wyoming, everywhere. So, yes, and, often if you begin to get resources, you begin to sort of link resources, there could be a psychoanalytic institute that's in your state. And, again, let me give this caveat out there. I am not saying that there aren't really wonderful, very talented, good therapists in all orientations. It just happens to be my particular bias that if you are working with somebody who is psychoanalytically trained, you are working with somebody who has a depth of understanding the human psyche and a knowledge of how to work with it that I believe is the most sophisticated, most effective way. My bias.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
Okay, love you.
Love you too. Bye-bye.
Oh, maybe we won't delete that.
Yeah.
Long.
Oh, you're funny.
Big words.
Yeah,
didactic.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I had to really...
Imagine growing up with that.
Oh, that's
I was
right.
Like, speak English, lady! Oh, my God.
Oh, poor dear Jillian.
Yeah. Honey, are you being didactic? We're going to have to get some psychoneural transmission going. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, we'll take a quick break, and then we got time for one quick email question.
Okay.
Okay, we'll be right back.
So sample boxes have become the hottest thing lately, and a sample box is, let's say, you get a sample box for your dog, and you get cool dog toys and dog treats, or a makeup sample box, and you get all different kinds of products. Well, Bulu Box is a health box, and you get all kinds of healthy snacks and supplements that you can try and see if you like it. It's the bomb. And here's the deal. For every $10 box that you get, you can get $10 back in reward points. So that means you get $10 to spend towards full-size purchases of your newfound healthy products. It's a killer service. I absolutely love it. And I discover new things in my little box that I love every month, whether it's new protein powders or natural supplements for hair, nails, and skin. You name it, they've got it in there. Bulu Box is offering you a chance to get your first box absolutely free. All you've got to do is enter the promo code, which is my name, Jillian, J-I-L-L-I-A-N. And you just go to bulubox.com, and that's B-U-L-U-B-O-X.com. You click on the microphone in the top left corner and you enter the promo code, my name, Jillian. That's all you got to do. So here's to you discovering a healthier you.
Okay, quick email question time. From Sandra wants to know, how come I can't do a pull-up in the gym?
Oh.
Exclamation mark.
Okay, well, because it's hard. That's why. First of all, chin-ups are actually easier than pull-ups. So a chin-up is when you have the underhand grip and your palms face you. And the reason for this is because, quite honestly, you can also incorporate a little more bicep. Whereas when you do a pull-up, your hands are overhand, palms face away, and it also goes a little bit wider out on your back, which the muscles are small. Well, you're hitting lats too, but it's the angle that you change your arm position hits different muscles on the back, making it more difficult, and you're getting less incorporation of the biceps. So a chin-up is easier. Start with a chin-up, but quite honestly, that's probably going to be challenging too. And you have to do these things in phases. You can't just jump into it. So, for example, I'd say, honestly, give yourself at least 2 months to be able to go. Oh, yeah, it's hard. Yes. And here's what you can do. I've started people in the following ways. The first is called a flexed arm hang. So what you would do is you essentially hold onto the bar in a pull-up position with your chin over the bar, and you hold it statically, and then ideally you'd get it down so you can hold that static position for 25 to 30 seconds. Then you'll rest for about a minute and a half. By the way, this is not the best way to train to lose weight. I'm just trying to say, if you want to do a pull-up, normally I'd never say just sit there for 90 seconds. But the goal is to get to a place where you can do at least a set of 25 to 30 second arm hangs, so your chin stays above the bar. Then, when you get to that point, what you do is you can step up on, you know, on a little bench, hold yourself up, and then you do what's called a negative.
That's what I do. I was just going to say that. That's what I do.
Is that
do
what you... Whoa.
I step
what do
up,
you
I jump,
do?
I get on that thing, that frame thing.
Yeah.
And I jump up, and I hold, and then I slowly lower myself down.
Yeah.
And then I get back up again.
Oh,
and I make that goat sound.
Amazing.
All the way
down. And how long have you been doing that?
Well, probably 23 years.
Oh, that's tragic. Okay. So maybe we can help you move on.
Maybe we can move on, yeah.
So what you want to do is get to a place where you can do three sets. So three negatives.
Negatives.
With a 20-second drop. That's hard.
Oh, I would read out of goat air.
What, huh?
That'd be long goat, because I do make the goat sound. Anyway, I'm just saying 20 seconds is a long time.
Yeah, you want to get to a point where you can do 20-second drop. Because remember, you've been holding on for 25 seconds.
You've this is had... after the 25-second
no, no, no,
hold?
No. Once you get to a point where you can do three 25-second holds, then you
graduate.
Start working on to the negatives, where you do three 20-second drops. Yes.
Okay.
Then, Manus, once you do that, then you get into mini pull-ups. So what you can do, I like this in conjunction with an assisted pull-up, because I'm still huge on range of motion. So what you might do is, let's say, three sets of five reps where you go halfway down and pull back up, halfway down and pull back up. Okay.
I bet you can do that, can't you?
halfway down and pull back up. Yeah, but that's easier than a full pull up.
Okay.
When you get to that full range of motion, it's much harder.
Okay.
So you do the little mini pull ups, and like the fourth progression, or you could probably be, I would actually like people to be doing those, the mini pull ups and the assisted pull ups at the same time. So one of the things I've seen people do, you can get on a Gravitron machine, which is
I've seen those,
the dip pull-up machine where you put your knees or your feet on the platform and you offset it with weight.
Yes.
Or you can have somebody spot you by holding onto your ankles. Just make sure you don't arch your back and give you a little boost while you're doing your pull-up. You can also do a jumping pull-up where you jump off the ground, grab the bar, and you use the momentum to give you a little assist. And another thing that you can do is they take, you know, those big rubber bands, those huge thick rubber bands they have in the gym. You essentially loop one over the bar.
Yeah.
So you put one end of it over the bar, loop the other end through the rubber band and pull it down so it's secured, it's fastened to the bar.
Okay, yep.
Kind of the way you would do with your dog leash, right?
Yes.
You know, you wrap your dog's leash around a pole, so you pull the leash through the handle, that kind of thing. And you put your foot in the rubber band.
Oh, that's cool.
So you're up on the bar, you've got one foot in the rubber band, and the rubber band essentially wants to snap back, so as your body lowers, it assists you as you're pulling, because the rubber band wants to go back to its original position.
Yeah.
And in about 2 months to 3 months, you can do it.
However, though, we've got... This is women. The way women... I've been told this. I don't know. Maybe this is complete bull, but I've been told because of our shapes, we are... The reason why it's harder is we are bottom. We are lower heavy in our organ area.
Like that's ridiculous.
Heavier there.
No, that's the dumbest thing I've ever
and
heard.
Men, no, men care. Men have everything up here, whereas we have a junk in our trunk. So it's harder for us.
No, that's not true. It's just because we don't have as much muscle as men.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's hard for men too. Pull-ups.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. Remember the old arm hang? Did you ever have that in high school?
No.
When you had to do the...
I was a fat kid. I don't remember that thing.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This is going to take you to a bad area.
I'm sure.
We had a thing called the Canada Fitness Guide or something. Canada Fitness thing. We had to do these series of things, and you got a gold badge, a silver badge, or a bronze badge.
For the losers.
For the 10 thing.
For the crappy. the bronze badge.
I
wouldn't even have placed. No medal.
I think there was a blue badge if you participated.
Yeah, exactly. The participation badge. Yeah.
Well, anyway, part of it was to hold it for 60, but we were allowed to hold it as in a chin-up position, not pull-up. I remember doing that.
Mm. How'd you do?
Gold.
I doubt it.
Did. I got it. I still got it in my book.
And you're still doing the negative push-up, pull-up thing?
I know.
There's
I do
some progress there, girl. Wow.
I can do an arm hang. I can hang. I was good at that as a kid. I can hang like a little monkey. Mm-hmm. But I can't. I have trouble.
I want to eat.
Junk in my trunk. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get that cookie?
It appeared from nowhere. It's like,
she had it hidden in her bag.
Not a cookie.
You hide crap in your bag, and then you pull it out when I'm talking on the radio, so I won't have any.
It's not a cookie, but it is delicious.
Yeah, beat you senseless.
And now it's gone.
you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.